This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, the Old Trailblazer, coming out again, bringing you another message from God's Word. And we're looking at a study now on the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And we're looking today at a subject, I will come again. Isn't that great? We saw that in our last study there. He said, if I go away, I will come again. But let me give you this information before we get started. In recent broadcasts, I've been offering you a copy of our doctrinal statement here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast. I've titled it, Things Most Surely Believed Among Us. And I'll be glad to send that to you, setting forth what we believe, what we preach here. And one of the things that we do preach is the Bible and what it teaches, the great old doctrines of God's Word, the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of man, the salvation by grace and by blood redemption, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and then the coming of our Lord, which we're speaking of at this time. So I'd be glad to send you a copy of that if you'd like to have it. More or less what we believe here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast. And it's we call it a doctrinal statement. And if you would, remember my mailing address is Radio Missions or just the Old Trailblazer. That'd be easier, wouldn't it? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. If you would, sit down right now. I appreciate it if you would. And let's get started in our study again. We're looking at the soon coming of our blessed Lord, and we're looking at the surety of His coming under the heading, I will come again. There are certain outstanding characteristics of a God-called minister or a true minister, a true pastor of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he's born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, and Christ is a living reality to his heart. Now, my friend, if you're a pastor, can you qualify there? He knows when he was saved. He knows where he was saved. He knows what he was saved from, what he was saved to. In other words, he knows the way of grace. That's God's messenger, my friend. And that's what the Lord called me to do, to be a messenger, an ambassador of God. Secondly, God's child, God's pastor is chosen, ordained, and called of God to preach the unsearchable riches of God's grace that are set forth in God's Word, the Bible. Christ said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. And again it is said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 4:1-4, and according to Romans 1:1, called and separated unto the gospel of God. God's ministers are divinely called. They do not enter the ministry of their own accord. That call is as definite as it can be. It's not made as a profession. It's not made as a job or some place to make a good living. Those things have nothing to do, my friend. Let me ask you this. Is your pastor God called or is he self-called? Is he a new creature in Christ? Or, if I'm speaking to young pastors out there, are you a new creature in Christ? Every minister of the gospel is commanded to and will preach the word of God, according to 2 Timothy 4:1-2. No born-again, God-called pastor will preach his own opinion. God's command to me and to you is to preach the word. God's man will preach the whole counsel of God and preach it without favor, without fear, preach it to men as they are. A hireling or an unsaved religionist will seek to cover up, explain away, or minimize certain teaching of the Bible, usually blood redemption in Christ, or salvation by grace, but especially the second coming of Christ, which is our topic. That's what we're looking at. We said all that to say this. We're looking at the second coming, or the soon coming of our blessed Lord. The second coming of Christ is interwoven with all other doctrines of God's Word and cannot be separated. Now, my friend, you cannot separate the second coming or the soon coming of our blessed Lord from the other great doctrine. We'll show you that in a future study. If you take out of the Bible all the references to the second coming of Christ, you will have whittled your Bible to pieces. Our subject today, as I said, is the surety or the sureness of his coming. You'll notice that we're taking up the doctrine of the second coming of Christ as set forth in the very warp and woof of the Bible, showing you that the Bible is not some vague book in regard to his coming. It's not vague in regard to his coming, but it is one of the outstanding or the most outstanding, clear, definite, positive teachings of the word that our Lord is, that he's coming back. My friend, do you have a problem with the Lord coming back? Is that seem like a fairy tale to you? Oh, my friend, don't. Don't do that. After the day of Pentecost, one day the Apostle Peter, accompanied by John, was making his way to the temple for the hour of prayer. They found a lame man near the gate beautiful, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, commanded him to rise and walk. He did so, leaping and running in the temple, praising the Lord. Then Peter was put on the spot with this question, "How did you do it?" His answer was, "By the name and power of the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he directs a very definite message to their heart, to those skeptics' heart, in these words, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses." Then he calls on them to repent. "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, let me stop there a moment and ask you, my friend, have you repented? Have you ever repented? Do you know anything about repentance? My friend, you were born sinful as a sinner. You come into this world as a sinner. You go astray as soon as you be born. Folks write me and say, "Pastor Trailblazer, don't call me a sinner. I'm not a sinner." Well, they think I mean that they're a drunkard or a whoremonger. No, my friend, every individual that comes forth from the womb as a sinner. Did you know that? The Bible says we go astray as soon as we be born, speaking lies. Did you know that if you weren't a sinner, there'd be no need for a Savior? I often think about that. Why do we need a Savior? Because we're sinners. This world, my friend, does not recognize Christ as being the Savior. No, they're going on headlong in their own ability to do what they want to. Some religious, some not. Some high moral characters, some not. But, my friend, the vast majority of the folks whom I know have no regard for the Son of God. Oh, they want to go to heaven when they die. They want to go see Mama and Papa, but they don't want to trust the Lord. They don't want to repent. They don't want to meet the Lord's demands. Did you know the Lord demands perfection? Oh, you say, "I didn't know that." The Lord demands perfection, my friend. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And the law, my friend, holds you accountable for your sins. And if you could keep the law, you could be saved. But you can't, my friend, because the law demands perfection. If you broke one tittle, one jot and one tittle, you're guilty of all. And you must have a sacrifice. You must have a substitute. You must have a redeemer. You must be pardoned from the guilt and penalty of sin. Now, my friend, that's a living reality to me. I see no reason, my friend, that the Lord would ever save a sinner except that Christ died for him. I'm bringing a message on the Lord on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the Lord doesn't answer that question, but I can answer it. He forsook the Lord Jesus Christ in order to save poor old sinners like the old Trailblazer and like you this morning if you want to know the Lord. My friend, did you know that the Bible says the broad road leads to everlasting destruction and the narrow road leads to life eternal? Which road are you traveling on? You on one of them? Oh, you say, "No, I'm just neutral." No, you're not neutral. You say, "Well, I'm an atheist." That doesn't make any difference. You say, "Well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other." Well, no. Pastor asked a lady one night at the meeting. He said, "Are you saved?" She said, "Well, sure, I'm saved." He said, "What about your husband?" "Well, I guess so. He's a Baptist preacher." "Well, my friend, that doesn't make any difference. There's thousands of Baptist preachers on the road to hell tonight or today, whatever time it is you hear this message, because they give no evidence of knowing the Lord." Oh, my friend, listen. I'm not the judge. Certainly I'm not. But listen, you can be a judge. When you talk to your pastor, ask him, does he know the Lord? Ask him, is he a new creature in Christ? Ask him if he has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or did he just make a decision? Is he God called? Or is he Mama called? Or Papa called? Or Pastor called? Listen, my friend, I'm trying to be true to your soul. I'm cutting down where the rubber meets the road. And listen, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness here. I know, folks, despise the old trailblazer. They write in here and they call me a crackpot. But let me just throw something in your path. Are you saved? Are you saved? You up there getting coffee this morning, getting ready for your breakfast. If you hear the broadcast early up there in Cincinnati, Ohio, Little Rock, Arkansas, somewhere. Are you saved? You going out into the world today to make a living? What if you never come home? What if the death angel meets you somewhere? Are you ready to go be with the Lord? You say, well, you're just trying to scare me, old trailblazer. Well, I wish I could scare you. I wish I could frighten you into turning to the Lord. Maybe I could just make you think just a little bit. What is your hope of heaven? You say, well, I'm going to heaven. What is your hope? Who is your hope? Is it a decision for Jesus? That's not salvation. That's not salvation, my friend. Not one place in God's Word that you can ever find where anybody made a decision for Jesus. You can't find one place in God's Word where the Lord Jesus Christ stood for you to decide to trust Him or not. You stand before the Lord to be accepted or rejected, my friend. What about you? What is your hope this morning? Are you looking for the soon return of our Lord? If you're not, I would say that you're not saved. If you're not looking for the soon return of our Lord, I would think there's a rotten apple somewhere in that bunch. There is. You need to check up on your foundation, my friend. What is your foundation? Can I go back and probe your heart again? Are you saved? Are you on a sandy foundation at this time? How do you know that you're saved? Have you looked in the mirror lately and looked, opened your eyes wide open and said, am I saved? And then let your conscience answer you back. Let that little still, small voice in your bosom answer you back. I don't care if you're high and mighty. I don't care if you're high society, low society. I don't care. That's not my business. But my man, my friend, my lady, my man, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you looking for the soon coming of the Lord? Oh, listen, my friend. Peter said to that bunch there, he said, repent and therefore be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And I tell you that this time, the old trailblazer, as he comes forth, riding old Dan, blazing the trail, I tell you, repent. Repent. You say, well, I don't know anything about repentance. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said there, look at Luke, in the, I believe it's the 13th chapter of Luke, he says three or four times, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist told that bunch of snakes that come out there to be baptized, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, many folks put much emphasis on John the Baptist. Poor old John the Baptist, he was, listen, but my friend, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached and taught the Word of God. He stood up in the face of all opposition. And that's what the old trailblazer does. I'm not trying to please the world. I really don't care what folks think about me, because my salvation does not rise and fall in your sight. Oh, I have folks call me, write me, they call me old crackpot. They call me this and ignoramus. But let me be a fool for Christ's sake, my friend. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't bother me one bit, except grieve me that folks think like that. But oh, if I could just put something in your path that would keep you from going out into eternity, my friend, what a great day it would be. I have folks write me. They say, Trailblazer, I had never heard the truth before till I heard you. How in the world can I get a hold of some of your messages on tape? And I let them know. Would you do that? I'll be glad to let you know. And remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, just the old Trailblazer, just the old Parson Pendarvis, bringing God's message day after day. Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, may God bless you.